Hi, my name is Shruti.
I'm Abhishek.
And I'm Navneet, and we are in SciComm. We bring you a new podcast series where we will profile enthusiastic students, scientists, and science communicators. Each of them will talk about who they are, what they do now, how they got here, and a cool scientific concept. We call this a soupçon of SciComm.
I'm Vijay Ramesh. I'm a first-year PhD student at Columbia University, mm-hmm. and I'm in the Department of Ecology, Evolution, and Environmental Biology, E3B for short.
Nice.
I am primarily interested in, you know, how land use and climate change is affecting the distribution of birds in the Western Ghats in South India. And not to jump towards my master's, but how I got to this question right now
is
broadly because I was working on birds for my master's and looking at how they're distributed right now and coming up with these range maps to tell people, you know, this is where these birds are found.
Right.
For my PhD, I'm broadly interested in looking at historical changes in land use. So I'll be going back to the early 1900s and trying to get records and journal records and, you know, stuff that British ornithologists kept when they were in India.
Right.
Trying to look at, you know, where birds were present in the early 1900s
mm-hmm.
and compare them to where they are found right now.
Okay. And how it then, changes with sort of changing land use by...
Changing land use and climate. Finally, to get these two time... I mean, get information from these two time points to have an understanding of how things might change in the future.
Mm-hmm.
And then predict, you know, since we have a 100-year baseline of how things have changed
right. I mean,
and where birds are,
it's can the perfect you predict kind that? Of data to like model and see what kind of...
Yeah. So
that's
broadly what I'm currently envisioning right now.
Nice.
I mean, since I'm in my first year, it's still the ideas are sort of like, you know, it's not concrete.
That's great. I mean, first year, I remember, was very, very exploratory. It was very fun. I think I spent a lot of time reading, so...
No, I really like it. Yeah. No, I think it's good to have that freedom to just think of ideas. And
that's great. So what did you do for your bachelor's and master's?
Well,
and now PhD.
Yeah. So I was not really keen on, or not, I wouldn't say keen. I was never really exposed to wildlife biology or anything of that sort when I was in high school or during my undergrad.
Mm-hmm.
And
You do your undergrad?
I did my undergrad in Army College in Bangalore.
I see.
So I did my undergrad in biotech engineering.
Oh, okay.
So like, I mean, at least most of our generation, it's either engineering or medicine.
This is a common theme across almost everybody I've interviewed, believe it or not. Everybody tells me the same thing. They're like, oh, we wish, like, especially ecologists and people who study wildlife, they're like, either they had sort of like that drive, like from when they were kids.
Yeah, exactly.
And or, like they were, you know, they're like, yeah, we just ended up doing biotech. And then I realized, oh my God, this is so boring.
Yeah, it's, I mean, honestly, I think the subject is fascinating, but I felt that the way I was taught the subject didn't really capture my attention, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
so
now
you were
when
taught,
I,
you were taught, so this, you're talking about biotechnology.
I'm talking about biotech engineering.
Okay.
Yeah. But honestly, like once I finish my high school, like 12th grade, you know, like I'm still not sure about what I really want to do. Now I'm figuring it out.
Nice.
But you know,
but at least you bought yourself the time to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. And at that point, mom was like, okay, fine, engineering or medicine? Let's do engineering. Medicine's 5 years, so engineering's 4 years. At least you'll have a job after 4 years. So
very practical.
Yeah, very practical. And through the course, I just felt like this is not what I wanted to do. And every summer, I tried to volunteer or I tried to get some other new experience. I think my first major experience was volunteering with a scientist from the Wildlife Institute of India. And he asked me to come to Corbett Tiger Reserve. And he said, you can help with camera trapping tigers and, you know, learning how this works. So that was my first time ever in the field. And I had no idea about how this works. So,
cool.
I learned how camera trapping is and, you know, how what are bug marks or, you know, like basic understanding of ecology without even reading about ecology, you know.
Yeah, so, but you were like out in the field. So you learned just by practice or you learned like by real time absorption.
Just by being there. And it seemed all glamorous and nice. But, you know, it's it's actually pretty hard what ecologists do on day in and day out basis, like collecting data and stuff. And then, and slowly after that, I also did my final thesis project at the Indian Institute of Science in Bangalore.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, since I have to convince folks at the engineering department that it has to be biotech related,
right.
So I was looking at phylogenetics of amphibians in the Western Ghats.
Nice.
So we were looking at these frog species that are cryptic. Cryptic as in they morphologically they look the same. So if I took a frog species from say somewhere in Kerala and I looked at the same genus of frogs from somewhere in Maharashtra, like you wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
I see.
But genetically they're really distinct.
Ah.
Like, very, very distinct. So
you sequenced, like you took small samples and you sequenced them.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So a collaborator at the Indian Institute of Science, like they had done field work in the entire Western Ghats for like 5 years before I did my undergrad thesis. Mm-hmm. So I took muscles from their thighs and liver and like sequenced DNA from their samples and then essentially built a tree of, you know, how different individuals across the entire Western Ghats are related to one another.
Nice.
And I am still on the verge of publishing it. It's just that I've been pushing it off.
I mean, it sounds amazing. I really hope you get it published.
I really should before I get into my second year of my PhD. But I think that was a really good experience, at least, you know, having an understanding of how people actually do science apart from being in the field.
And so that led you to your master's?
No, that was partially what led me to my master's. But in between me coming to Colombia for my master's and working at Indian Institute of Science, I was helping out a PhD student from the Cornell Lab of Ornithology.
Oh, nice.
And he was in the Himalayas near Kedarnath Wildlife Sanctuary. And he wanted to understand how birds adapt to really high elevations.
Mm-hmm.
And looking at their hemoglobin concentration and how that changes as the elevation changes.
Right.
And that was really interesting. And that got me hooked to birds, I think.
Oh.
That's when I was really interested in birds.
Nice.
And then I decided to come here for my master's and slowly one thing led to another. And
cool. So you did your master's here in Colombia?
Yeah, I did my master's at Colombia.
In ecology?
At the same department, ecology, evolution, and environmental biology. Although the degree is conservation biology.
I see. Excellent.
Using just broadly citizen science data to come up with these ranges for where they're from.
That is so cool because one of the people who I interviewed actually spoke about citizen science, Devyani Khare. She spoke about this India Biodiversity portal.
It's a really nice portal. It's up and coming. I think it has the potential to be really good.
Right. Yeah. That's great. So finally, the last question, can you think of something that would have been really, really interesting to you back in high school or undergrad even?
When you're in high school, I think being exposed to other fields is really crucial right now. Mm-hmm. I feel like we were just like, you know, one thing or the other and like never really learned much about birds or actually went out and, you know, like saw birds and appreciated nature and things like that. But based on my broad PhD questions, one concept that really fascinates me is the concept of the niche, which is essentially a set of acceptable environmental conditions for a particular species.
Uh-huh.
And when you were asking me to think about how I would explain it to someone in high school or something, so the way I think about it is, if it gets cold and cold at night, you would want to take your blanket and wrap it all over yourself. Right?
Right.
You want to just stay in that nice set of
nice warm cocoon environment.
And so these days what's happening is you don't have the blanket, but it's getting colder and colder and colder.
Oh wow.
So what do you do? You're not in that acceptable framework, right? So birds don't have a blanket, except it's getting warmer and warmer and warmer. They are trying to go upslope or they're trying to adapt to these conditions.
Uh-huh.
If they're not able to adapt to them, they just go locally extinct. Like some populations can't really adapt to such
conditions.
When
you say upslope, you mean that they actually start living or they shift their living to like higher altitudes?
Yeah. That's something that people are noticing in most birds that live in these mountain ranges or at least areas where there is some sort of a topography.
Right.
Since it's cooler as you go upslope.
Right. How do birds in the plains, for example, adapt to something like this?
That is a very good question. And that's something I can't answer fully, but I think many of the birds that live in plains, at least in the Western Ghats, many of the birds that live in the plains are broadly generalist species. So they're used to, you know, a broader set of environmental conditions. So they can sort of adapt if there are temperatures are higher, and also if there isn't a particular forest type, they can jump into a plantation or they jump into a degraded forest. So
you're saying basically the birds in plains have more options where they can escape to as compared to like birds who are specialized to be on very specific mountains or environments.
So I would say birds in plains might have a broader option, mainly because there are more distinct forest types and distinct ecological conditions that they can sort of go into, you know.
I see.
Generally, in most of these mountainous areas, you have like few, you know, really specific forest types or few set of conditions, and that these birds have been adapted to for like centuries and centuries together. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden you're changing them. That's when it becomes.
Yeah, you know? I see.
And that's another thing that I'm broadly working on, looking at how genetic variation has changed across 100 years, you know.
Oh, wow.
Like,
yeah.
How is that changing because of spatial changes?
Mm-hmm.
So, let's see how that goes.
That's fascinating. That's pretty much it.
This was great, yeah.